Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to CUTV News Radio. Nice to have you here with us. We have an exciting show today, a really exciting one, and I've been talking preliminarily to our guest who's going to be with us. She is an art expert. She is an art coach. She is an artist's manager. She is someone who helps artists get their work seen around the country by in galleries to help them create work and then get their galleries to accept their art and to sell it. Every artist obviously, you know, needs and wants an audience. The goal of the art is to communicate, but all too often artists fall far short in developing their audience because they're so focused on their own work. Every great artist has had a patron, that is, someone who offered their support at a time when they chose not to. We wouldn't be able to enjoy that artist's work today if they hadn't. Our guest, coming up, her name is Gwenda Joyce. She is known as the Art Ambassador for artists who are going places. She is an art success coach and an agent who helps artists transform their careers and achieve the success they have always dreamed of. She can help artists develop a strong, individualized strategy for career development and for gallery representation. She puts it this way. She says, you have to live the artist's life and have your art seen by the world. Creativity is inherently human, but it's often stifled, and it needs to be valued. As a guide and supporter of artists, Gwenda works primarily with visual artists, but her coaching process can be applied to virtually any artist in any medium and any form. She says the very first step is to make a commitment to change. You have to invest in yourself and believe there can be a different result. Now, for artists to be who they truly are in this world, they need to be passionately connected with and committed to their art. That's fact. It's about being authentic, and if we can connect with our creative center, promoting our work becomes part of the creative process. There is really no conflict. And Gwenda says she's always felt the impulse toward living a creative life. She credits her success to her parents, both of whom were professional artists. She grew up in what she called a create family, which is the reason, and certainly one of the reasons, she has this understanding. She recognized in herself that she was not the true real artist creator. She's different. Her talent is in recognizing other people's abilities and supporting them and guiding them to become their own pure artist selves. She operated her own fine art gallery in Chicago for some 25 years prior to establishing herself as the art ambassador. So she knows all too well the challenges that young artists face developing their careers. She's very passionate about helping artists create the success they want, and with increased exposure, of course, with reputation and with sales. She puts all of her experience as a gallery owner, a curator, an art consultant, and a writer into supporting and guiding young artists to reach their goals. As she puts it, if you want a successful art career, she is the person who can help you get there. I think this is fascinating. We talk to people from all walks of life and all businesses on these shows. I've never talked to someone who helps artists create their works. So it really is a great honor to welcome her to our lines today and to our show. She has a wonderful website. I'll give you that address in a few moments. But I'd like you to meet Gwenda Joyce. She's on the line with us from her headquarters in the San Francisco area. Let's just say good afternoon, Gwenda. How are you? Nice to have you with us today. How are you, honey, my dear?
Hello, I'm Doug. I'm doing good. Very well, and it's so nice to talk with you, too.
Well, listen, this is interesting because I don't think there are many people who are familiar with, you know, with people like you in show business. In the entertainment world, there are agents who help singers and actors, and you must assume that in the world of art, there are those who help artists, but we just aren't that familiar with them. So tell me a little bit about your story. You start, as you pointed out, your parents were artists. And then you got into the art business by having a gallery in the city of Chicago for many, many years. Where did the art ambassador, this title that you have, where did that come from, and at what point in your career did you start doing this?
Well, the art ambassador came after I had sold my gallery in Chicago. I had owned and worked in the gallery for over 20 years. And I had loved having a gallery and representing artists to the public. I felt like I was the bridge between the artist and the public. And I recognized that there are two different kinds of people, really. Artists as creators are one thing, and the public, generally, people who like to collect or be around art, oftentimes admire artists so much, and they're wannabe artists too, but they just recognize they don't have the ability. So I felt like I was the bridge, and I loved being in that role. But after about 20 years of doing that or more, I felt like I also wanted to make a change in my life and see if I could give back to the world of art and artists in a different way. I felt that there were a lot of artists who just were not being recognized or seen for their creativity or their wonderful, ways of expressing and putting things together and putting it out into the world. So I sold my gallery, and I started to think about, how can I take what I know and move it forward and help artists who don't understand what the world of business and the world of galleries is like. And I had learned so much, so I thought I would reorient myself and create a business that focused on that. And as I was telling one of my colleagues or associates in a coaching program I was in, I was telling her all that I was doing in order to put this together for artists, and she said to me, "Well, it sounds like you're just a veritable art ambassador, aren't you?" And thus came the name for my business.
There it came, the art ambassador. That's great. How long now have you been doing this? Have you been known as the art ambassador?
I've been doing this for over 5 years now. And I have developed this, over the course of the years in terms of figuring out what artists really need, what can be helpful, and how I can help, satisfy what they're looking for. And so what I've done is two or threefold, really. A lot of what I do is coaching with a group and individual coaching programs. And coaching is transformational. Coaching is supportive and eye-opening for people. It's become more and more the way to go. As one of my friends said, he says, everybody has a coach these days, and he's an interior designer. So it's coaching is, we all know how coaching helps major athletes and people in the entertainment world. Everyone has a coach, but with fine art and artists, it's kind of a new field. As is being an agent.
I was just going to say, you bring up a very interesting thing here when you talk about being a coach for an artist. I gather there is tremendous help to be given artists to coach them in the world of the business of being an artist. That is how to try and go about getting your art accepted by a gallery or exhibited in a gallery. But I'm wondering about the creativity aspect of being a coach. Do you actually work with artists and try and help them create or direct them in doing their art? I mean, if somebody like Andy Warhol came with you with his Campbell's soup can, would you be someone who would tell him that'll never sell, you have to do it differently, or what? Explain a little bit about that aspect of being a coach, because I'm wondering how hard it is to coach an artist. It's like coaching a singer, you get what I'm talking about?
I do, absolutely. And you're right on when you bring that issue up, because I don't really tell artists, I don't at all tell artists how to make art. They are motivated to do that on their own. In fact, most of the artists that I work with have known from a very young age that they were an artist. It's part of their way they show up in this world. It's who they are. It's in their being. And so I acknowledge that, and I respect that greatly. What I'm doing really is working with the artistic personality on the one hand, which oftentimes has its own way of looking at things that can interfere with an artist's progress or an artist's ability to actually get their work out into the world. So I work with that aspect. Issues are, that frequently come up, you might wonder what that means. Things come up where artists can get stuck in their creativity. They can be distracted, and sometimes they'll go in two or three or four directions and get too spread thin. Many artists also are highly sensitive people and don't do well with rejection, so they tend to be introverted and work in isolation, which can be damaging. And also perfectionism comes into play, where they want to be absolutely perfect in what they're doing before they take it out into the world. So I understand all these issues and more, and I work with those. And then on the other side, I also work with the business aspects. The artists will tell me, oh, I'm really fine with making my art, but I fall down totally when it comes to marketing and sales. You know, they just hate it, really. You know, they just hate it. So I make it acceptable.
That's where you can be so much help. That I totally understand. Tell me a little bit about exactly how your relationship, you know, you develop this relationship with a client. They come to you. Do they become, for example, like an actor would become a client of an agent in Hollywood, or a singer would have a manager, you know, in New York or Hollywood or wherever, and they have that relationship. Is this the same kind of thing with you? Do they become a client of yours, per se, and then you help direct their career, help get their art to the point where it can be exhibited, and if they get sales, you help share in, you know, in the results? Is that the kind of relationship you have?
That's essentially it. I ask artists to apply to me, and I find out exactly, you know, what level they're at, what they're looking for. And I have several different ways of working with artists. Most of it's very personalized. And so we work out the arrangement, and they do become a client of mine. We look at this as a long-term relationship, but I mean, it can be long-term, can be 6 months to several years. It's a very transitional situation, but it's also one that provokes a lot of growth and transformation that most artists just really feel enlivened and enlightened as a result of working with me. I'm really happy I can say that, because I love the idea of transformation.
Do you work with artists who do a little bit of everything? You know, art is so subjective. There is, you know, you could have a piece of art that can be a modern art that some people absolutely love and they understand. They look at it and they say, I get it, and I really like that, and it's terrific. Someone else can look at it and I just hate it, not like it at all. And I'm just wondering how that works with you. Do you work with artists who do a little bit of everything, all kinds of different art? And is this partly reflected by the art that you sold in your own gallery in Chicago for so many years?
Well, I find that artists do pretty much everything these days, and I love that. You know, art is so individual. It's really a reflection of who that person is who's making the art. And on the other hand, the world today has broken wide open in terms of the way art is being shown, and people are finding that art. The internet has completely changed the way the art world works. And there are, every community in this country has an art center and ways for artists to exhibit their works. And then, of course, there are the art galleries that are the still considered to be the most prestigious and highest form of representation for an artist. So there are just all sorts of ways an artist can go. And so it makes it really confusing and complex. And so I have some basic processes and guidelines and rules that I find really work. And they work for artists of all types. And some of the artists might have been artists I would have shown in my gallery, but for the most part, I felt after working in the gallery that my perspective as a gallery owner was much more limited than it needed to be, and I wanted to break it all open and work with artists of all different types. And I even work with creative business owners, for example, you know, an interior designer or a jewelry maker or a gallery owner, him or herself, you know, people who are in creative business. In addition to making artists, this process and this outlook I have seems to work for all of those types of people. The goal is
your
to
website,
get the work out there.
I want to point out your website is really good. And if you look at the website, for anybody who's listening, who's really interested who might be an artist, by the way, and is interested in getting some help, you should go to Gwenda's website. It's artambassador.net. Very simple, artambassador.net. And there you will see there are several sections. For example, you have one section where you talk about artists, avoid mistakes that set you back. And then you go on to have a true story that you want to share with all of the artists who are working alone and trying to move their art careers forward and get better known. And there's a whole section there on that. You obviously have a book that you've put together for the first step in selling your art, which is a guide to artists on how to sell their art. Is that right? I mean, I'm looking at it. It's a great book. Looks that way, anyway.
I have that. That's an e-book, a short book. I have just finished writing a longer book, and it's in pre-order right now. You can order directly from the homepage on the website, and that is called The Deal of Art: Selling Your Art with Heart and Determination. I'm very proud of that because that's my latest book, and it is available for pre-order. Will be published in a hard cover on September 12th. So that's coming up soon.
That's good. That's very good to know. You just mentioned something that I wanted to ask you about. When an artist is putting their work together, how does the decision made about when you put an art up for sale about what kind of price tag to put on a piece of art? That's got to be a really tricky decision, I would think. How do you come up with that? Do you do it as the gallery owner? Does the artist tell you what they want it sold for? How does it work?
Well, like everything in the art world, there's a little bit of mystery to it and a lot of individuality, individualism. You know, it depends on the artist who's making the art, what kind of art it is, how much they've already sold their work for, and if they're working with a gallery, I always take the gallery into consideration. We have a conversation in terms of what does the gallery feel that they can place the work for in terms of pricing. And that is one of the things that helps determine for an artist which gallery might be interested in their work, is, you know, which price point the gallery's audience typically goes for.
And that would, I would imagine that would vary from city to city throughout the country. Would that be right? Would a piece of art sell for more in New York than it might in Miami or in Dallas or more in San Francisco, which is where you are now? A great city for art, by the way.
Great city for art. San Francisco's really been growing and burgeoning with art and has lots and lots of artists in the Bay Area. Yes, the region that you're showing your art and selling it in has an effect on the pricing. Artists who are known nationally will have the same price in different cities for their artwork. So that's something that you need to be consistent with. I often tell artists who live in a particular region that if they can't find a gallery to represent them, then don't be afraid to look outside of their local region to find places to exhibit their work and show and sell it, because it's a big country out there. It's a big world.
It sure is. Let me ask you another question here. You're based in San Francisco. How do you work with clients? I mean, let's say there are some artists, would-be artists who are hearing us right now, and they may be in, you know, some other city far away from San Francisco and where you are. How do you work with people like that? How do you work with someone who might be on the East Coast in, you know, Massachusetts or New York or Florida, and you're in San Francisco? Can you work with them and help them and be as, you know, as guiding a light from that distance as you can, unless you're right with them, seeing their work?
I absolutely can work with artists all over the country and internationally, and I have. I have many clients from different parts of the country and the world. And thank you to the internet, to the amazing technology that we have available to us. I can be in my office and be working with artists in different locations. I use a video conferencing program. We do everything either on the phone or through a video conferencing program, and we feel like we're in the same room together, even though we're not.
And you can look at their works on Skype. It's another form, right? So you could see what they're painting, right?
I can. I can see the work, and with my experience, I am very good at interpreting what I see, and if I can't get it completely, then I ask the artist to send me something. Or oftentimes I am able to travel and make studio visits.
Let me ask you something about, there's another great section on your website where it points out 9 things that hold artists back from success. Tell me a little bit about that. What are the 9 things that primarily hold artists back from success? How would you describe them?
Well, that is a blog post, and I would encourage anyone who wants to have an answer to that question to take a look at that blog post. I'm going to pull it up right now. I have talked about different things such as being clear about what you want and knowing what your goals are. With every consultation I do, we talk about what are your goals? Where do you want to go? And it's just kind of common knowledge that if we don't have goals, then we tend to flounder. And yet having a goal in terms of an art career is probably the first biggest mistake that an artist will make. I just won't be creating their goals or even thinking about them because they're in the studio. They have work to make, and they're thinking about that. So that's number one. I go on to talk about how demystifying the process of where you want to go with your sales and your reputation is also something that can hold you back. And I think a really big obstacle that many artists have is not having an understanding of business, not realizing that marketing and sales and basic business skills are really important. I think a lot of artists feel that if they focus on business, it will take away from their art making. So they never get around to that part. Unfortunately, it's the artist's dilemma. You know, which way do I go? Do I spend time on my art or do I spend time on my business? If they were going to be spending time on business, they'd probably be more business people and wouldn't be artists. So it's the age-old dilemma. And we work out, I help artists streamline their approach to marketing and sales so that they can be entrepreneurial have an understanding of what that means and maybe even be creative with being an entrepreneur and not have it interfere with the art making, but have it enhance their art making.
That sounds like such fascinating information to impart to an artist who may not know the, you know, the workings of the business. That's the kind of information that can make or break a career, quite frankly. I'm wondering, do you have any kind of success stories you could pass along and examples of some artist who was struggling and then came to you for help and, you know, things have turned out a little bit better after spending some time with you and getting advice from you? Any great stories you might have?
I have some great stories. I'm very proud of them. One of the stories comes from an artist in Minneapolis who we found each other. I started talking with her, and I could tell she was kind of demoralized. She had just put a lot of effort into an exhibition and created a whole new body of work and put up the show. And the show it looked beautiful, and she got a lot of critical acclaim for it, but nothing sold. And she was really disappointed. And she has a family. She has a supportive family. She has children who are in their older teenage years, and she also has a part-time job. So she was supporting herself, but she was still working as an artist pretty much full-time and fitting in all those other responsibilities. And when she didn't get any positive results in terms of sales from her exhibition, she was really demoralized, and I think she kind of felt like she had let her family down, and her self-esteem was suffering. She also felt like she looked at her peers' artwork, and she couldn't figure out why they were being more successful than she was. So I found her at this time, and we started on a program working together, and she just started to see things differently. I taught her some business skills. We did some marketing. She figured out how to be a part of the conversation in terms of generating interest in her work. And things started to turn around for her step by step. And by the next year, when she had an exhibition at her open studios, she sold 19 paintings.
Wow.
And the year before, she had sold just 2 boxes of cards.
Oh,
so it
word.
Was
That's
a real exciting, yeah.
No kidding. That's a great story. I think every young would-be artist would love to hear something like that. Well, it just shows the value of having someone. I was just going to point, we're almost out of time. It's the value of having someone like you there to guide them and give them information, give them feedback and critique their work. You know, it's invaluable, invaluable. No question.
Absolutely, absolutely it is. And I just want to say, Doug, that you talk a lot about young artists, but truthfully, my clients, my typical clients are older. They're not young,
you know,
starting
you're right.
out artists.
I understand
and,
that.
They,
I, and
yeah,
they could be 50 years old and still
most of them are,
benefiting
yeah,
from your
most
help.
Most of them are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they feel like if they don't get help
Gwenda?
Now, then, yeah.
Thank you, ma'am. This has been most interesting. I wish we had much more time. Our guest has been Gwenda Joyce. She is the art ambassador. Her website, go to her website if you're a would-be artist or are interested in learning more about the world of art and need some help, or an agent, you know, artambassador.net. That's where to go, artambassador.net. Gwenda, thank you so much. It's been great to hear from you. Gwenda Joyce in San Francisco. That's it, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks so much for being with us. Love this show. What a great, great topic. Have a great day. See you
Thank
next
you
time.
So much.
Bye for now. Bye, Gwenda.
News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.